Bind her!
Yes, my lord.
The voices fade away. I breathe out slowly. For a moment, neither of us move. The alpha drops his arm and I step away. His face is as dark as thunder as he stares down the corridor.
Do you really want to stay?
He asks. What difference does it make? I am a prisoner either way.
Aye.
He runs a hand over the back of his neck.
And I can't promise you it won't be dangerous up in the Northlands. My people don't much care for humans. But I promise you that I'll protect you.
He swallows.
And I'll give you the choice. Run now, and I won't follow. Come with me, and no one will touch you. I swear it on the moon goddess.
He holds out his hand for me to take. I am trembling as the decision builds in my chest. My soul is rattling against its prison, wild and screaming. The alpha's gaze is unwavering. It's as though there is no doubt in his mind what I will do. What do you want with me? I ask. He drags his teeth over his bottom lip, as if deciding whether to tell me.
Sebastian has something of ours. We want it back.
I let out a bitter laugh. You want to hold me ransom? You think he will make a trade?
Aye,
he says. And there it is, my choice. The two paths that lie before me. A choice between two men. Two killers. Two monsters. Only it is not much of a choice at all, is it? Again, I am nothing more than a prize, an object to be passed between men. A burst of hysteria builds up inside me and spills out of my mouth in a manic giggle. There it is, I say. That's what this is all about. Well, you heard what the Lord said. If I am defiled, then I am of no value to anyone.
That's not why I'll keep you safe.
I stare at his open palm. Then I look down the corridor in the direction that Lord Sebastian went.
I heard what he said to you,
says the Alpha, his voice quiet.
At the dogfight.
When I meet his eyes, there is a surprising amount of anger contained within them.
I will keep you safe, then I will set you free. I swear it.
I do not know if it is that word, free, that makes my heart beat faster, or whether it is the look on his face. Even though I am a statue, and statues don't move, my fingers twitch at my sides.
I swear it, princess,
he says. And somewhere beyond the adrenaline that's pumping through me, a thought begins to form. If I can gather intelligence on the wolves, perhaps I can finally prove to my father that I am more than just a prize to be won. And if I help my father win his war, he will have no use for Sebastian. Perhaps I can escape my fate on my own terms. What does Sebastian have that belongs to you? I ask. There's a click behind me, and the Alpha looks over my shoulder.
Step back, my lady.
A guard grabs my arm and pushes me behind him, his musket trained on the Alpha.
They're silver bullets, so don't do anything stupid. Hands behind your head.
Slowly, the Alpha raises his hands and clasps them behind his neck.
On your knees, dog.
Wait, I start.
It's okay, my lady. He'll be punished. I can take it from here.
The decision, the choice, that has been rattling around in my chest since I laid eyes on the Alpha, erupts out of me. I grab a torch from the wall and smack the guard in the head with it. I expect him to fall down to the ground, unconscious, like the guards did in stories my mother would tell me as a child. Instead, he grunts, then turns to me. The mild confusion on his face quickly turns to anger. I stagger back, dropping the torch.
What's going on?
He says, his face reddening.
Have you lain with him? She who lies with a beast?
The Alpha darts forward and breaks the man's neck, then shoves him aside. He holds out his hand. I suck in a deep breath. I'm doing this to help my kingdom, I tell myself. Not because, even with blood on his shirt cuffs and dirt on his face, and one of my guards dead at his feet, he's looking at me with kindness. No one looks at me with kindness. I place my hand in his. His palm is warm and rough as his fingers curl around mine, sealing my fate. It is only then that a flicker of confusion crosses his face. Perhaps I imagined it, because a moment later he gives me a small smile.
Come,
he says.
More will be on their way.
Together, we bolt down the corridor into the western entrance hall. The door is already open, and the night spills onto the checkered floor tiles. I smell the pine trees of the forest and the rain-drenched grass. The cold breeze tickles my skin, so fresh I can taste it. The wind howls, or perhaps it is the wolves that await. Alongside the beast, I break out of the labyrinth. Chapter 5. Twigs and stones dig into the soles of my feet as we run into the copse of trees that lead to the western gate. The wind whips my hair into my face, and rain is falling between the branches, seeping through the thin material of my nightgown. The sound of howling and the clash of steel follow us, coming from the outdoor kennel somewhere behind us. The night is thick with the woody scent of fire. I should be alarmed, yet all my senses are trained on the alpha's hand, clasped around mine. I feel the ungodly strength in his fingers, and the calluses that make his hand so very different to my mother's, the only hand I have ever clasped before this one. Heat seems to spread from the place where our skin touches, and it travels up my arm. I took his hand willingly. I don't know what that means, but he will not let go. I am certain of it. He let me make my choice, but now it is made. I have a feeling there is no going back. A sweet burst of panic surges through me. Am I really going to do this? The alpha turns and swings me off my feet and into his arms. I yelp and reflexively hook my arms around his neck. His eyes latch onto mine, bright even in the darkness.
No time for second thoughts now, princess,
he says, rain running over his full lips. Put me down, you brute!
No.
He continues onward, through the nursery of ash trees. Over his shoulder, thick smoke curls into the moonlight from the courtyard. More howls fill the night. And it hits me. This is not an escape attempt. This is a siege. You planned this, I say under my breath.
Aye.
The blood in my veins turns to ice. I may not want to marry Sebastian, but these are my people being attacked by wolves, and I am willingly leaving with one of them. And he is a killer. They all are. Put me down!
You don't want me to do that.
The small gem of truth in what he says makes my insides twist. You have no idea what I want.
What do you want?
A strange jolt of adrenaline, of something, floods my system. I don't have an answer. No one has ever asked me that before. And why should they? It doesn't matter what I want. Statues do not want, or feel, or need. The alpha's eyebrows dip in question, or confusion. I want you to put me down. His gaze moves to the western gate that looms ahead, and the corner of his lip tugs up.
No, you don't.
You said I had a choice. Raindrops roll into my mouth.
Aye, and you made it. And as you can't seem to tell me truthfully what it is that you want right now, I will take that as your final decision.
The western gate is open, though it should not be, and a group of men in kilts wait on horses in the shadow of the dark, whispering trees beyond. They glance in our direction, and the alpha's arms tighten around me as he stalks toward them. I open my mouth.
I'm not leaving you, princess, and that's the end of the matter.
There's a dark finality to his tone. This is a man who is used to having the last word. You're a monster, I mutter, though I don't quite mean it. He's a killer, maybe, but I'm not sure he's a monster.
Aye,
he says just as half-heartedly.
So you'd better do as you're told.
A hot flash of fury ignites inside me. I want to tear into this man, this wolf, who thinks he can pick me up whenever he pleases. I want to pummel my fists against his chest and shriek until my throat is raw. The force of this feeling, so unfamiliar, scares me into keeping it at bay. I push it into the cage in my mind and lock it away. When we clear the gate, Magnus is waiting atop a horse and my blood cools.
Got yourself a wee snack for the road,
he says.
She's under my protection.
The alpha stalks past him toward a grey mare near the front of the group.
Easy there, Dawn,
he says when the horse whinnies. Everyone is staring at me, and I must look bedraggled and pathetic. Put me down, I say through gritted teeth. The alpha slides me to the ground. My nightdress is turning translucent in the rain, and I cross my arms over my chest. His expression softens, and he throws the fur cloak over my shoulders, pulling it in around my collarbone.
Can you ride, princess?
He asks. I can. My mother taught me when I was a child. Being on horseback made me feel free. Perhaps that is why my father forbade me to ride after her death. Keeping this information to myself may be helpful if I need to escape. It is best, I have found, to let people underestimate me. So I shake my head. He lifts me onto the beast. A couple of the men stare at me, but when he growls, they make themselves busy by adjusting their packs or checking their weapons. When I'm settled, the alpha's gaze darts around the shadowy group of eight, and his brow creases.
Where's Ryan?
I scan the shadowy male faces and see the boy with the dislocated arm isn't there.
The real lad.
A burly man with red hair and a thick beard shakes his head.
Not seen him.
Fuck's sake.
The alpha curses. For the first time tonight, he looks worried. He darts a look over his shoulder at the western gate, then up at me. He flexes his fingers by his sides.
Fuck.
He mutters. A moment later, the boy half runs, half stumbles through the gate, and some of the tension in the alpha's expression softens. Ryan's coppery hair is plastered to his forehead, and he's clasping the hand of a brunette girl around his age. She's wearing the uniform of the kitchen maids and has an angry scar across her cheek. My eyes narrow in distaste at the brand on her neck, one of Sebastian's ways of identifying the wolves he has working for him in the castle.
Ah, seeing to matters of the heart, I see,
says the red-haired guy.
Or cock,
says another, with an arched eyebrow. A few of the men chuckle.
Shut up, dickhead,
snarls Ryan, glaring up at him. It does not escape my notice that he is no longer wearing the sling. Wolves really do heal quickly, then.
Oi,
says the alpha, slapping the back of his head.
Get on your horse and stop pissing about.
His tone is stern, but there's a glint of amusement in his eyes. In a swift movement, he mounts the horse behind me. The heat of his body seeps through the thick furs I am wearing and makes my skin hum. He reaches for the reins, caging me within his arms.
Ready, princess.
His voice is a rough breath on my cheek, and I shiver. The bare branches of the trees ahead reach for one another over the overgrown road like forlorn lovers. To my right, the mountains are jagged and wild and alive, so unlike the flat terrain of the south that submits to the feet that tread upon it. The alpha asked me what I wanted, and I couldn't answer. Now, a word beats fast with my pulse. Freedom. I want to be free from my fate. If I do this, if I can gather intelligence that will help my father win his war, I may be able to free myself from Sebastian. Yes, I say, and some of the tension loosens in my chest.
Let's go,
says the alpha. The thunder of hooves competes with my heartbeat as we ride into the forest. The man with the red hair appears beside us. His eyes glint with amusement, even in the darkness, as he raises an eyebrow at the alpha.
Don't mean to overstep, he says, but who's the lass?
Chapter 6.
That's none of your concern,
says the alpha over the sound of hooves. He's leaning into me, as we put space between us and the castle, and I feel his hard body against my back. Trees loom up on either side of us.
It will be our concern if the bastards come after us,
says the red-haired man.
I happen to like my balls attached to my body.
I don't know why,
replies the alpha.
You hardly ever use them.
The musky smell of horse floods my nose, mixing with the scent of damp earth. I cling onto a ridge at the front of the saddle, knuckles wet and white, my thighs gripping the beast for dear life as it jolts forward. The spindly winter-worn branches overhead provide little shelter from the wind and the rain, yet I'm not cold. I do not know whether it is the body behind me that keeps me warm, emanating heat even though he is only wearing a sodden shirt, or the fur he wrapped around me. Or perhaps it's the speed of my heartbeat, pumping blood laced with adrenaline through my veins. Whatever it is, I think it is also keeping the fear I should be feeling at bay too. Because I'm being kidnapped by the enemy, and I don't even care. In fact, with each tree we put between us and the castle, another knot in my chest seems to untangle. There will be time for fear and panic, I'm sure. Now I feel as if I'm flying through the darkness. I'm a prisoner, but I'm free. And I wonder how both of these things can be true at the same time, yet no, they are. The red-haired man glances at me again.
She's a beauty for sure. That doesn't mean you can just swipe the lass. What's the king going to see?
What makes you think I didn't take her on the king's orders?
Says the alpha, and I stiffen.
Not your king.
He adds in a whisper against my cheek. I frown, confused. There is only one king, unless you count the false king my brother is fighting a war against over on the continent. And surely the wolves are too unruly, too disorganized to be fighting for him.
Because I happen to know what the king ordered us to take from the castle. And I know it wasn't a bonny lass in her nightgown.
He meets my eyes.
Who are you? And don't let that big oaf frighten you.
I'm not afraid, I say. My voice is quiet. It is drowned by the hooves pounding the forest floor, and the wind rustling the branches. But the wolf's eyes latch onto mine curiously. It must be true what they say about wolves having hearing stronger than the gods intended. I shiver.
She's none of your concern.
The alpha's tone is firm.
She's the princess, Fergus.
Magnus drawls behind us. A smile spreads on Fergus's face, too big to be genuine.
Tell me he's joking. Tell me you didn't kidnap the daughter of the king, because I know you're not that much of a hot-headed fool.
The alpha shrugs behind me. His body feels relaxed, despite the jolting of the horse and his hard muscles.
For the love of the goddess,
roars Fergus.
Put her down.
It's a bit late for that,
says the alpha.
They'll have our hides for this,
says Fergus. They'll have your hides if they catch you anyway, I mutter under my breath. I feel the soft laugh in the alpha's chest. Fergus looks sharply at him.
This is madness,
says Fergus, exasperated.
They'll come after us.
Aye, probably.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking that seeing as we can't find what it is we're looking for, the princess can be used as leverage to get it.
Oh, aye. Because it seems to me it's not just young Ryan who's making reckless decisions based on his cock tonight.
My heart thumps a little faster at the impropriety of what he's suggesting. The alpha promised that no one would touch me. I assumed that meant him too. The alpha says nothing.
See sense,
roars Fergus.
Put her back. We'll drop her off at the nearest village if you're worried about the lass, but...
A low growl sounds in the alpha's chest.
She's coming with us, and that's final.
Fergus gives him a long, hard look before glancing at me. An unreadable expression crosses his face. A mixture of exasperation and something else. Sorrow, perhaps? He shakes his head.
She's a human,
he says softly.
She's not.
I'm bringing her to the king. I won't hear any more about it.
The alpha's body jerks as he digs his heels into the horse, and we speed ahead of the pack, leaving Fergus and the conversation behind. There's a shift in his mood. His corded forearms are strained, and a dark cloud seems to hang over us. Self-preservation should persuade me to stay quiet. And yet... My father is the king, I say.
He's your king. He's not ours.
We always thought the wolves were too wild and unruly to unite behind anyone. The history books say the clans have been at war with one another, as well as us, for hundreds of years. I didn't know you had one, I say.
Do you know a lot about wolves, princess?
If you were anything to go by, I know they are lacking in manners. He chuckles darkly.
Oh, aye. Anything else?
I know you do as you please. Killing, stealing, invading the Southlands. I think about what Sebastian said, about how wolves take their women. I remember what Magnus did to that woman in the cell. My cheeks flame. Doing other beastly things.
It seems you have the measure of us, princess. We're all animals up here, running rampant around the mountains, howling at the moon, eating princesses for breakfast.
I tense, and he laughs. I don't know whether or not he is joking. The church says wolves hunt our kind when the moon is full. What's more, there are many stories of Borderlands men being sent north to protect our lands, and only their bones being found months later. Do you eat people? He laughs again.
Hush. We've got a long ride ahead of us.
That doesn't sound promising. And yet, I cannot quite stop myself from wanting to provoke him anyway. Did you hit your head when you were in that fighting ring?
Huh?
I gesture to the right, remembering that the mountains were on that side of us before we entered the trees. The north is that way, you fool.
You know, not many people speak to me like that.
Not many people kidnap me and hold me hostage.
I'm not people.
His lips are close to my ear, and his warm breath tickles my cheek.
I'm an animal, remember?
I shiver, something stirring deep inside me. I open my mouth to retort, but he shushes me.
We're heading west for a few miles. If we go north right away, we'll hit the border wall. Now shush. We've a long ride, and you're giving me a headache.
We ride throughout the night. The steady sound of the hooves and the low murmur of conversation from the walls behind us adds a soft lull to the crisp air. My head keeps rolling on my neck as I fight sleep. My body was tense and alert when we started this journey. Now, I do not have the strength to keep myself upright. I sink back into the alpha's chest, as improper as that might be. He's so warm against the chill in the air. When we clear the forest, though, my eyes jolt open and I sit upright, a wave of wakefulness surging through my body. The sun is rising, painting the sky pink, and the rain has stopped. We've reached the high stone wall that separates the country of the wolves from the rest of the kingdom, and part of it has been brought down. Through it, there's an expanse of rugged terrain that stretches as far as the eye can see. I could see the distant north from my chambers in Sebastian's castle. But up close, the scenery is even more breathtaking. The grass is a green more vivid than I have ever seen, interspersed with fern and heather that rustles in the breeze. Small lakes filled with dark water reflect the sunrise and the shape of the land. It looks almost unnatural for land to be shaped this way. Hills and mountains burst up from the earth as though they are alive. The ones in the distance touch the clouds, and is that snow upon some of the sharp peaks? The air smells like grass and rain, and it's so crisp I can taste it.
We ride to Loch Ayalach, then we rest the horses.
The alpha's voice cuts through the silence. He digs his heels into the mare and we're flying, leaping over the crumbling pile of rock. I gasp as we clear the border wall, and I feel the alpha smile behind me as we leave my homeland behind.
Welcome to the Northlands, princess,
he whispers. Chapter 7. I was a sickly child. The high priest said my weak temperament came from my mother. Bad blood, he'd said. It was thought I would die of the same illness that took her. before that haze of death and burning herbs, and the blurry insides of the room I didn't leave for months, I remember my mother taking me to the countryside in the south. It was just her and her lady-in-waiting, and me. I must have only been about 4, but I still remember the fields of golden crops and the rolling hills, scattered with farms and small villages, and the cabin in the woodland by a great blue lake that we stopped at. I suppose our early memories shape us in some ways, and I wonder if that small taste of adventure stirred something inside me all those years ago, something I buried within me, something that set me on a path that would one day lead me here, sitting on the back of a large grey horse, caged within the arms of the enemy, surrounded by wolves. My captors talk among themselves as we ride for what feels like hours. The sun rises high into the sky, and we don't stop, though I am weary, and the horses are slower. I wonder if the wolves are worried they are being pursued. They should be. Sebastian and my father will have sent people to retrieve me by now, not because they care that I have been kidnapped, but because both men need me to secure their future alliance, and because both need me untouched. I don't know how I will feel if they find us. I do know my captors will meet certain death. If the Alpha is worried, he doesn't show it. He remains silent, but he feels at ease behind me, his body pressed against my back, my thighs held within his. It is highly inappropriate for us to be this close, for him to be this familiar with me. Every time the thought occurs to me and I stiffen, trying to put some space between us, he nudges me back again. After a while, whether it's the lull of his warmth, or the ache in my bones, or the fact I am distracted by the surrounding terrain, I stop bothering. I find myself thinking about my memory of the southern countryside once more. The scenery back then, which filled me with such awe at the time, was so soft compared to what we pass as we ride deeper into the Northlands. The grass I played in with my mother was trimmed, the sunlight was warm and kind, and the hills were curved and gentle. Even the lake, which seemed to me like it stretched on forever, was blue and soft and still. Here, the landscape is alive. It is rugged and harsh and dangerous. The mountains jut out of the earth in stiff, jagged peaks, and the grass on the sides of the rocky road is so long it tickles my feet. Above, the sky is filled with rolling grey clouds that cast shadows on the land as the wind howls. Even the air has a harsh bite to it. There is nothing gentle here. Before long, it seems, the sun is setting again, and I remember my mother's lady-in-waiting telling me stories about how the gods and goddesses of the night staked their claim on the Northlands before they went to rest, making the days shorter and the nights longer, so the creatures that revered them had more time for worship. A shiver ripples through me as the shadows lengthen. The Alpha's arm momentarily tightens around my waist as if he senses it. Soon, the sky is a dusky blue, and we're stopping at the edge of a great loch surrounded by mountains. The water is so black it looks bottomless, and it churns in the wind.
A word,
calls Fergus, gesturing to a copse of evergreens by the shore as he gets off his horse. The Alpha sighs, his breath tickling my cheek.
Aye, in a minute.
He dismounts the horse, and the coldness wraps around me in his absence.
Need a hand, princess?
I don't answer him as I glance down at the earth. I'm aching, and I'm not wearing shoes. I do not want to seem weak, though. I take a deep breath, then shift my leg over the beast. Before I can jump off, the Alpha grabs me by the waist and lifts me down. When my feet touch the ground, my legs crumple, and the Alpha hooks an arm around my front and pulls me into him. Damn it!
Steady, princess,
he says.
I suppose you're not used to riding. Never mind. I've got you.
He scoops me up into his arms while the other men dismount around us. What are you doing? I snap. Those nearest to us avert their eyes, some grabbing flasks from their packs to fill at the loch, others gathering branches to make a fire on the bank. Stop manhandling me. I'm quite capable of walking by myself.
Aye, I'm sure you are. But as I'm already carrying you, I may as well put you down by this nice tree over here.
he gently places me by a tall evergreen away from the group, where the sweet scent of pine is thick in the air. The earth is hard and cold. When he stands and whistles at Ryan, I pull my knees to my chest beneath the fur cloak. The alpha crouches in front of me, and a wave of his heat washes over me once more. The warmth must be a wolf thing, because he is only wearing a damp shirt over his kilt.
Back in the castle, I told you that if you ran, I wouldn't chase you. I need you to know that is no longer the case.
In the dusk, his eyes are the color of the deepest part of the forest.
If you run, I will catch you. We're not in the south any longer. Understood?
We are in the middle of nowhere. I have no idea where I am. Where does he think I would run to? I give him a look. I'm not a fool.
No, I'm sure you're not.
He glances at my hair, which must look like a tangled mess right now.
You do have fire in your soul, though. So be good, okay? I'll be back in a moment.
He stands before I can retort and whistles again. Ryan walks over, tailed by the girl he rescued from the castle.
Get the princess some food and water, and keep an eye on her. This is important, so no pissing about.
Ryan lifts his chin, chest puffing out slightly as he solemnly nods.
Aye, I will take care of her.
The alpha glances at me, the corner of his lip slightly lifting, before he stalks across the camp to Fergus. Ryan hurries to his horse, gathering supplies from his pack, while the girl merely stares at me warily. I avert my gaze from the brand on her neck. Hello, I say. I'm Aurora.
I know who you are.
Hostility radiates from her. I understand why. I am betrothed to the monster who must have captured her. Even though our people are at war, I do not want her to think me a monster too. What is your name? I ask. That's none of your concern. Something hardens inside me. I was trying to be nice. Before I can respond, Ryan is back, passing me a stale loaf of bread and a leather flask filled with water. All I can think about is easing the gnawing ache of hunger that's been building in my stomach all day. Thank you, I say, gulping down the ice-cold water. I stare at the bread for a moment before deciding there is no ladylike way to eat it. I tear into it, washing it down with another swig from the flask. When I'm done, the girl is still eyeing me warily. Ryan, however, seems relaxed beside her. How is your arm? I ask him. Slowly and stiffly, he stretches it out, clenching his fist a couple of times.
It'll be all right. I'll be fighting again in no time.
Even in the growing darkness, I see the flush in his cheeks.
Thank you for what you did for me.
You don't need to thank me. I'm sorry you were in that position. When his female friend whispers something in his ear and tugs on his good arm, he nods, then glances at me.
We'll be over here if you need anything.
They go and sit a few feet away.
She's all right, Becky, I hear him murmur to her. She's not like the others.
The men sit around the fire, drinking an amber liquid that I think is alcohol. They're far enough away that I can't hear their conversation, though I can see the looks they throw at me every now and again, some hostile, others curious, others predatory. By the water, the conversation between the alpha and Fergus seems heated. Fergus gestures wildly, and the alpha's face is like stone. When the red-haired man points at me, I avert my gaze. I am clearly unwelcome here. I do not know how long I sit here, the conversation and laughter becoming more raucous around the fire. The alpha has stepped into the trees with Fergus, and Ryan and Becky are now deep in conversation. Every part of me aches, yet I am alert as a rabbit surrounded by wolves. I feel horribly alone. When I accidentally catch Magnus's eyes, a slow grin spreads across his face, and he says something to the rat-like man who sits beside him. I quickly look away, pulling my knees closer to my chest. They both get up and saunter over, and my pulse begins to race. I can smell the alcohol on the air and see the intent in their eyes, even in the near darkness. Ryan jumps to his feet.
Magnus, Sit down, lad,
says the rat-like one with a grin, brushing him aside.
This doesn't concern ye. Hello, sweetheart, says Magnus as he prowls forward. It's cold out here. Perhaps you can keep us warm.
My insides twist. You're disgusting, I say, pushing my back closer to the tree, grasping along the ground for something, anything I can use as a weapon.
No, no, that's not very nice, slurs Magnus. They're only being friendly. I can think of much better uses for that pretty little mouth than insulting us.
My fingers close around a rock as he gets closer. My pulse is racing as I stumble to my feet.
Leave her alone,
says Ryan. The rat pushes him back. There's a crunch as the alpha steps on a twig beside me, and his warmth wraps around me.
If you're cold, Magnus, there's some whiskey in my pack that'll warm you up,
says the alpha.
I suggest you go and drink it before you and I have a problem.
His tone is easy, but the sleeves of his shirt strain against the muscles in his arms, and his jaw is a hard line. A hush falls over the camp. The air is tense, as if the rest of the wolves sense that blood might soon be spilt. But then Magnus cracks a grin.
Hear that, lads? More drink for everyone.
He slaps the alpha's arm before sauntering off to collect his prize. The alpha watches him go before sitting down by the tree. When my breathing has steadied, I sit down beside him, my fingers still curled around the rock. His profile is stern as he watches the others. He doesn't speak. He doesn't reassure me. I suppose there is no point. He has probably realized the same thing I have. I am in danger here. I have made a terrible mistake. Dread curls in the pit of my stomach as I stare at the group of wolves. The night becomes darker, and the conversation becomes quieter. Gradually, snores add to the crackle of the fire and the lull of the wind. Though my eyelids are heavy, and though the alpha sits beside me, I do not dare close them, not even for a moment. When the last of the wolves has fallen asleep, the alpha stands. Up, he mouths, gesturing with his head. He holds out his hand. I frown, but cautiously I take it. I wince when the sharp stones dig into my already sore feet. The alpha's eyebrows dip. He puts a finger over his full lips, then scoops me up again. This time, I do not protest for fear of waking the others. He takes me to his horse, tied to a tree a short way from the sleeping pack, and puts me in the saddle before mounting behind me. Before I can ask him what's going on, we're riding away from the others. I look over my shoulder. Only Ryan stirs, but when the alpha pushes his finger to his lips, he nods and settles back down beside Becky. Where are we going? I ask when the camp is a small dot on the other side of the loch.
We'll be making the rest of the journey back alone.
He whispers roughly against my cheek.
I won't have them threatening you.
You can't just tell them to leave me alone, I say. I thought you were supposed to be the big bad alpha. He lets loose a quiet laugh.
I suppose I am. But what did you notice about their kilts?
I think of the different patterns the eight men were wearing. Some blue, some green, and only Ryan's red, like the alphas. You're from different clans, I say. You're not their alpha.
No, I'm not. And while some respect my status, others less so.
Like Magnus, I say bitterly.
Aye.
He agrees darkly.
And if he were to directly challenge me, I couldn't let it stand. But when I'd killed that despicable prick, it would really damage what we're trying to do here in bringing the clans together. It's for the best that we make our own way.
He pauses.
Because I really want to kill that despicable prick.
Something warms in me at that, though I realize it's not very ladylike to revel in the idea of someone being killed. Where are we going? I ask, my chest feeling a little looser. His arm tightens around my waist.
I'm taking you to the Wolf King.
A spark of panic ignites inside me. Curiosity pulses through me too. Who is the Wolf King?
You see.
And what? You're just going to hold me for ransom for something you think Sebastian has stolen from you?
Aye.
What do you think he has? I sigh, and my breath mists in the darkness before me. What exactly is going on? Chapter 8.
Do you know the story of the Elder Wolf?
The Alpha asks. Away from the camp, the night is black as pitch. I can barely see, but I can hear the wind stirring the water of the loch we ride beside, and smell the rain-drenched evergreen trees and the masculine scent of the man behind me. The first wolf, I say. Yes, everyone knows about that. He lets the silence extend, waiting for me to fill it. He conspired with the moon and betrayed the sun and the first men, I say. He was cursed to roam the earth on four legs and live in a manner as beastly as his actions were. The word beastly slips out. It is the word the high priest always uses when he tells this story. With the Alpha as my only audience, alone together in an unfamiliar kingdom, I wonder if I should have been more careful with my word choice.
Aye, I suppose you would tell it that way in the Southlands.
He merely sounds pensive.
It's true, we were cursed, but that's not quite the way the story goes.
He shifts behind me on the horse, and his thigh brushes against mine. I sit straighter. Even if I bring valuable information to my father when I am free, he will disown me if he ever finds out I'm sitting with a wolf's arm resting on my lap. The Alpha gently nudges me back again.
The Elder Wolf lived here long before the first men arrived,
he says.
When all kinds of ancient, dangerous creatures roamed the earth, the moon, or Yalach, as we call her, would watch him as he endured. Impressed by his strength and his will to survive, she fell in love with him. Now, some say the moon herself was a wolf, while others say the wolves were merely her favored ones. But whichever is true, she would send her creatures to protect him.
The Alpha's voice is low and soothing, and I find some of the stiffness in my limbs softening as the darkness wraps around us.
He began to leave her gifts and offerings to thank her, and so began a secret courtship that lasted many years. They fell deeply and irrevocably in love.
No one has told me a story since my mother passed, and I relax against his chest.
When the first men invaded the Northlands, the Elder Wolf was gravely injured. The moon left her post in the sky to come to him, though it was forbidden. She shared her wild and dangerous power with him, and he was able to transform, to heal, and to seek vengeance on those who had tried to kill him.
I hear the smile in his voice.
It was a blessing.
A blessing? You said you were cursed.
Aye, we were. But the ability to transform into a wolf was not the curse.
So what was the curse? It is fascinating to hear this story from the Alpha's perspective. In the South, our religious texts tell us the power to shift was the punishment for the Elder Wolf's betrayal, and the story ends there. In the North, it seems, there is a whole other chapter.
The Elder Wolf embraced his new power,
he continues.
You see, it felt as if the wolf was part of him all along, and perhaps it was. Perhaps that was why he and the moon were drawn to one another in the first place. Unfortunately, the story doesn't end there, because the sun is a jealous and vengeful goddess.
I flinch. If I am honest with myself, I have had blasphemous thoughts about the goddess of the Southlands, usually while being made to repent for my sins by the high priest. But to voice those thoughts aloud...
When the sun found out, she set out to punish them both. The moon was banished. She was given to the god of night to be locked within his prison in the sky. And the Elder Wolf? Well, the wolf inside him was caged, only ever able to break free of his chains when the moon was the closest and her power could reach him.
on the night of a full moon. The wind rustling through the trees almost swallows my words.
Aye.
My eyebrows knit as I piece together what he's telling me, and why he's telling me. You're saying the Elder Wolf was once able to change whenever he wanted, I say. That the curse wasn't that he had to transform into a wolf, but that the power was taken away from him.
Aye.
The Elf's voice comes out low and dark.
But the sun had underestimated the power of the moon's love. So distraught to have been parted from him, to see him suffer from her prison in the sky, she ripped out her own heart. She cast it down to the earth so he could keep it, and he could always be close to her power.
I frown. And he found it?
He did. It landed in the center of Glen Yalach, high up in the Northlands, and created the valley itself. And when he found it, he kept it close. Until one day, the sun led the first men to him. Though he fought bravely, though he protected the heart that had been entrusted to him, there were too many of them. He was slaughtered, and the moon's heart was stolen.
You think it's real?
Aye, we do. Of course, the story is steeped in myth. But there is evidence throughout history of a relic that has passed between hands. A type of rock, we think.
He swallows.
And there is evidence it holds the power for us to shift whenever we choose. To be free.
His longing for freedom stirs something inside me as I finally understand. You think Sebastian has it. That's why you planned the siege at his castle. That's why you took me. That's what you want to trade me for.
Aye.
He says, his voice dark as shadow and laced with intent.
We're searching for the Cria na Yalach, the heart of the moon. Because with it, we'll have the power to shift when we want. With it, we'll have the power to win this war.
Chapter 9. We'll have the power to win this war. We ride onward. The night is quiet, except for the sound of the horses' hooves and the whisper of the wind in the trees. It emphasizes how alone we are out here, how alone I am, with a man who is plotting against my father. His chest rises and falls steadily against my back. What makes you so sure Sebastian has what you're looking for? I ask. I sense him deciding whether or not to answer.
I have my sources.
You have spies in Sebastian's castle, you mean? I recall his certainty that he was going to escape when I tended to Ryan's wounds. They let you out of the kennels, I presume?
Aye, and they confirm what someone from the Lothal clan has been telling us.
His tone darkens. And I get the impression that whoever this someone is, the Alpha doesn't care too much for them. But you didn't find it.
It wasn't where we thought it would be.
I think of the carnage we left behind at Sebastian's castle. The dead guards in the entrance hall, the flames in the courtyard, the shouting and the cries of death. Your siege was pointless then. His arm tightens around my waist.
I wouldn't say that.
My heart thuds faster as I realize I may be out of my depth. I have no doubt Sebastian will wage war to get me back. I am his property, and I have been stolen from him. He will not let that go unanswered. But he does not care whether I live or die. Not really. And the Alpha is naive if he thinks Sebastian will trade this powerful relic for me. I am worth nothing. I wonder what will happen to me when the wolves finally figure that out. We stop in a clearing by the bank of the loch, and the Alpha dismounts. It's so dark, all I can make out is his shadowy form. The air is thick with the scent of pine and grass, and water moves and ripples somewhere behind him.
We're resting here until morning. Come,
he says. I fold my arms. You do realize both Sebastian and my father will send their armies north to find me. They'll ride day and night to capture my kidnapper. It won't end well for you if they do. It won't end well for me either.
People really don't talk to me that way,
Yes, you said.
They call this place Glenmarv, the Valley of Death,
says the Alpha.
It was a battleground centuries ago. They say the souls of the wolves who died here haunt the valley, seeking vengeance. If you listen carefully, you can hear them howling.
My insides tighten when I hear hollow wails in the distance. I snap my head toward him, alarmed. He grins.
Just the wind. A silly superstition, but Sebastian believes it. He won't send his men here. We're safe until morning. Come.
This time, when he puts his hands around my waist and lowers me to the ground, I don't fight him. I am a princess, and he stole me from my bed and brought me here. He should be serving me. That's what I tell myself anyway. I am fed up of feeling weak. If we were in the palace, and I was dressed up in one of my favorite dresses at one of the balls, things would be quite different, I'm sure. I wince when my feet touch the sodden earth. The Alpha's big hands tighten around my hips, the heat seeping through my nightdress. My cheeks flush. Men are not supposed to stand this close to me, especially big Alpha warrior men who are plotting against my father.
Yaloch.
He curses under his breath.
Your feet.
Above, the clouds shift, illuminating the valley in the moonlit loch. My gaze is fixed on the Alpha. He's looking at my bare feet, and a flicker of something, shame perhaps, crosses his face.
You're hurt.
He swallows, shaking his head.
Forgive me, Princess. I forget sometimes how fragile humans are.
Fragile? I slap his wrists and he finally releases me. We may not all be big oafs like you, but that doesn't make us fragile. One of my soles hurts from running barefoot out of the Borderlands castle. I must have cut it on a stone or twig when we escaped. I want to take a look, but not with the Alpha looming over me.
Let me see.
He steps forward. I'll be fine. It's just a cut. His nostrils flare.
You're not fine. I can smell blood.
Firstly, that's horrifying, I tell him, folding my arms. And secondly, if it bothers you so much, then next time you come crashing into a lady's bedchambers, let her get dressed before you kidnap her. His face falls.
I should have done that. I'm sorry. I truly am.
The sight of a big, bloodthirsty warrior sheepishly apologizing causes a strange feeling of power to surge through me. Until he steps forward.
Now, if you'll just let me take a look.
No.
Let me see.
If you come any closer, I will take my leave of you. He stills, and I think I've won. But the corner of his lip twitches. Slowly, he raises his hands.
Okay.
His tone is placating, at odds with his large physique.
Okay. At least sit down. I'll water the horse, light us a fire. Okay?
He leads the horse down to the loch. I shiver and pull my furs closer. It is never this cold in the king's city. There's a copse of fir trees nearby, so while he's fussing with the horse, I select some dry twigs and branches and a flint rock. By the time he returns with a flask, I'm sitting and warming my hands by a small fire. The crackle of flames adds to the sound of the wind and the water. He looks at me curiously.
I didn't think you'd know how to do that,
he says. I tuck my knees beneath my chin, basking in the heat that washes over my face. Do you know a lot about princesses, Wolf?
It seems not.
He sits down beside me and nods at the flames.
Did your father teach you?
He sounds skeptical, and he's right to be. The only thing my father taught me was how to act like a lady, so that he could parade me around in front of suitors. My mother. I chew my bottom lip. I'm unused to people asking me questions about myself, and it feels strange. She was from the Snowlands, originally.
Ah, well, I hear it's pretty cold over there.
Yes. I pull the cloak closer around me. The clue is in the name. The Alpha laughs, a soft, surprised sound.
Aye, that it is.
He hands me his flask.
If you won't let me tend to it, at least clean your cut. I don't want to have to take you to the healer when we get to the castle.
I pick up on the darkness in his tone. You don't like healers? I wash the blood off my soul. There's barely a scratch there, and I've always healed quickly. It should be fine in a couple of days.
This particular healer is an obnoxious prick who I'd rather we avoid.
The shadows curl around us, and my breath mists in front of my face. I nod at his pack. Shouldn't you be putting up the tent?
The tent?
I thought we were staying until morning. Where am I going to sleep? A slow smile spreads across his face.
You can check for a four-poster bed in there if you like, Princess, but I'm pretty sure I forgot to pack it.
You want me to sleep on the floor?
Aye.
Where are you going to sleep? His eyebrows dip in confusion before he nods at the ground. You're going to lie down beside me as if you were my husband.
Well, not exactly like that, no.
There's a wicked glint in his eye, and I flush.
Now behave yourself and lie down. You'll catch your death of cold if I move away.
He lies on his back, clasping his hands behind his head.
I know, it's scandalous. I won't tell anyone if you don't.
When he winks, I huff and lie on my side, turning away from him. The grass is surprisingly soft. I'm not sure if it's because the mountains block the wind, or if it's the alpha's strange body heat, but some of the stiffness in my body eases. What is your name? I ask suddenly.
Callum.
His voice is soft and lilts slightly, as though he's surprised I asked. Callum?
Aye.
He sounds amused.
Is there something wrong with my name?
No, I glance at him over my shoulder. I take in his hard jaw covered in stubble, his wild hair, and his large biceps bulging against his sleeves. I expected you to have a more brutish name. The name Callum makes me think of a mischievous young boy. He chuckles.
Believe it or not, I was a mischievous wee lad once.
His eyes glint playfully in the firelight, and I can almost imagine it. It warms something inside me, and I look away before he catches me smiling. It's nice to meet you, Callum.
Your name is Rory,
he says, and I bristle. Nobody calls me that, and it's far too familiar for a wolf who has stolen me from my bed. I'm Princess Aurora. He merely chuckles. Before long, all I can hear is the crackle of the fire and Callum's breathing. I don't know how I'm going to sleep under these conditions. I've been taken by the wolves. Tomorrow, I'll be presented to the mysterious Wolf King, and right now, I'm lying beside a man who is not my husband. I gasp as the realization of where I should be right now crushes over me. Callum stiffens.
Princess.
I roll onto my back. I was supposed to marry Sebastian tonight. I should be his wife right now. Callum turns his head to the side.
Aye.
A warmth builds inside me. I don't hide the slow smile that spreads across my face as I turn my gaze to the infinite sky. I feel Callum's eyes on me for a moment longer before he too looks toward the stars.
I told you he wouldn't touch you,
he says. Chapter 10. I'm warm, hot even. My eyelids are heavy, and when I open them, pink sunlight floods my vision. Strange dreams of large wolves and moonlit woods ebb away, leaving me confused. I'm not in my bed. Grass tickles my cheek, and the air is crisp. My nightdress is damp with dew, and a chorus of birds and wind and rippling water resounds around me. There's another sound, too. Low, steady breathing. Something heavy presses down on my waist. My eyes widen as it all comes back to me. The alpha, the siege, and being taken from my homeland. What's more, Callum has me tucked against his chest. He must have pulled me to him while he slept. I must have let him. Goddess! I try to shuffle away, but a soft snarl vibrates in his throat. My pulse quickens as I push at his heavy forearm. This time, his growl is low and dangerous. His fingers are splayed across my torso, holding me to him. My breath hitches. I have never been this close to a man before. I glance over my shoulder. Despite his threatening sounds, his eyes are closed and his face is soft with sleep. I slap his arm.
Get off me, you big oaf! Get off!
He groans, then rolls onto his back.
Good morning to you too, princess.
His voice is rough as he opens his eyes. My cheeks are flaming, but he doesn't seem embarrassed. I wonder if he's used to waking up beside women he has just met. He's handsome, I suppose, in a bloodthirsty warrior kind of way. I sit up, pulling my fur cloak closer to me to shield me from the cold. I focus on the mountains that surround us, instead of the crease on the side of Callum's face, where the grass has left a mark, or the soft smile playing on his lips. As well as illuminating the rugged scenery, the dawn exposes me. Usually, in the morning, I would bathe, and my hair would be brushed and styled on top of my head. I'd be presented with pretty dresses, and ladies in waiting would fuss over me, cinching in my waist and concealing my flaws. I would sit in front of the mirror for hours sometimes, tinting my lips and hiding the shadows beneath my eyes. I was supposed to be perfect before anyone saw me. Away from all that oppressive finery, I feel naked. My mouth tastes bad, and my eyelids are puffy, and my muscles ache. I know my skin will be unnaturally pale. Callum is watching me. Does he have no manners at all? Does he not know how rude it is to stare at a woman when she has just woken up? My throat tightens. I need to get away from him. I scramble to my feet and wince as I march away from our little camp.
Going somewhere, princess.
For all he knows, I could be running away. If he knew I could ride, perhaps he wouldn't sound so amused. I'm going to wash. I clamber down the rocks to the loch. You wolves may be content to fester in your own filth, but I am not. I tiptoe to the water's edge. The loch stretches on for miles in either direction, the rippling surface reflecting the mountains and the pink sky above. Just ahead is a small island, covered with evergreen trees. Shallow waves lap the smooth stones by my filthy feet. The morning air fills my lungs, and as I exhale, the anxiety leaves my body. I'm out of my depth, and I just woke up beside an alpha in the Northlands. But I have never seen such a beautiful landscape. It's so wild and peaceful and free.
I wouldn't do that if I were you, princess,
says Callum.
The water's pretty.
I shriek as I step into the shallow water. The icy temperature jolts through my body and I shudder.
Cold,
finishes Callum. He's rolled onto his stomach to watch me. There's a wide grin on his face. I'd rather be a little cold, I begin, trying to hide the violent chatter of my teeth, than caked in dirt. Although you clearly don't feel the same.
I don't feel the cold, remember, princess. Isn't that why you were snuggling up to me all night?
I was not.
You know, I could get completely naked right now and jump into the loch and the temperature would have no effect on me whatsoever.
He continues, as though I haven't spoken.
In fact, you're right. I am caked in dirt. I think that's exactly what I'll do.
Don't you dare! I demand as he gets up and tugs his filthy shirt out of his kilt.
My dirtiness is clearly offending you, princess.
The only thing that is offending me, Callum, is your complete lack of decorum. Something unreadable passes over his eyes, though he continues to smirk. Now, why don't you make yourself useful and sort us some breakfast? He laughs at that, loudly and unabashedly.
Very well, Your Highness. Don't take too long. The water's cold and it'll be noon before we arrive at the castle. That's a long time to be shivering, although I'll happily warm you up again after.
His teasing tone provokes something that sounds almost like a growl from me. It seems to delight Callum.
Go away, I say.
If you're not out in 5 minutes, I'll be coming in after you.
Despite how much he is antagonizing me, I find the corner of my lip twitching once he has disappeared. He is clearly in good spirits this morning, and for some reason, that fills me with warmth. Until I realize why he is so happy. By noon, he'll have done his job and delivered me to the castle, and I'll be at the mercy of the Wolf King. Chapter 11. I take my time washing myself. For the first time in my life, I relieve myself behind a tree. I spend a few minutes drinking in the view, too, standing on the shore and watching my breath plume in front of my